Hi, this is Robin from Radiotopia. Before we get started, I want to thank everyone who regularly supports this show. Thanks to listeners like you, we're able to bring you the shows you love exactly how our creators want to make them. If you just can't imagine your podcast listening without us in your ears, will you do us a favor and become a monthly supporter? Monthly supporters are so important to us because they help our shows project their budget for the coming months. To get into the nitty-gritty, the money raised for Radiotopia is split across all the shows in the network. A small percentage offsets the support that Radiotopia gives to each of our shows, like privacy-first podcasting technology, marketing to help us reach more listeners like you, and fundraising and business support. Your support means we'll not just survive, but thrive at a time when independence is rare. You can become a supporter at radiotopia.fm/donate. Thank you so much.
From PRX's Radiotopia. Pansies.
Pansy. Pansy, 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 pansy.
By the heart. I'm Caitlin Prest. So in the first two episodes of the Pansy season, we were talking mostly to people who have at some point in their lives been called or thought of as effeminate. Femmes. Fags. Fabulous. Pansies. Because of certain mannerisms, because of certain relationships to dominance, because of an attraction to decorative things that are associated with women. Blake from our last episode ended up coming to the conclusion that gender fluid was a more accurate way to describe his gender. That way he could name and honor the feminine parts of himself instead of feeling like they didn't belong within the framework of dudeness.
He, she, they, kind of whatever people perceive me as, I'm like, okay with.
In the next couple of episodes of Pansy, we're telling the stories of two people who were assigned male at birth and have embraced and discovered and embodied and claimed their femininity in their own unique ways. Something really special happens when you name something for the first time, when you find a word to describe something that before was just a feeling, a nothing. Doesn't feel like a nothing. When you find a word for a nothing, suddenly it becomes a something. It becomes real. I'd always assumed that Alan was, you know, just a regular-ass straight dude. Well, actually, he's not regular at all. He's a magical individual. He sings like a pretty bird.
She had eaten her dog, D-O-W-G. She had eaten her dog, 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 dog.
He was introduced to me as my best friend's boyfriend. You might remember him from the first episode of the Pansy season. One day we were talking about something
That's totally wild, different.
Another interview for the upcoming series about consent.
I'm genderqueer, and I wonder if I was...
As soon as Alan said out loud that he didn't see himself as just squarely a dude, suddenly I felt like I could actually interact with this feminine part of him that I felt but didn't know how to name. What you're about to hear is part story, part meditation. For this episode, we ask you to find some calm, wherever you are, and join Alan on a journey to discovery.
Tara was the first person to ever really play with my butthole. It was her idea. During a quiet moment in between the bouts of athletic sex we'd been having, she sat upright in my bed and asked me to crawl into her lap. With my face down and my ass up, her fingers stroked and seduced my butthole into a buoyant state of ecstasy. It also hurt, just like I always kind of thought it would. But I didn't ask her to stop because I was hypnotized, entranced by a feeling I'd never felt before, coming on stronger with each thrust. Like a big bubble of mirth and levity was being pumped inside me. It was like she was force-feeding joy into my rectum, or administering a radiant light enema. And this feeling lasted. It didn't flatline after orgasm like I was used to. I'd always been jealous of my female partner's orgasms, and the way their climaxes seemed to fade slowly to infinity. But from here, there was nothing to be jealous of. This was new. Not too long after our sleepover, Tara puked on my bathroom floor and left without cleaning it up or even mentioning it. So we had to stop hanging out. Love can be fragile like that. But that night was the beginning of a long journey for me, a journey into the back of my body and the heady landscape of my true gender. It took a while, but a couple of years after Tara showed me the light, I decided to get to work. It started to feel wasteful, irresponsible even, to have this pleasure center in my body that was just taking up space like an Encyclopedia Britannica for my grundle. So I went to Babeland, bought the daintiest glass prostate massager they had, and learned to enjoy fucking myself with it. Since I'm kind of a hippie, I decided to use coconut oil as lube, which was okay, except that I used to really like cooking with it, and now not so much. The smells of butt and coconut oil are forever linked in my mind. These days, my prostate is a really bright light in my physiological life. When I want something, like really want it, I can feel it in my butt. For as long as I can remember, there's been a tape playing on loop in the back of my mind. One that comes to the fore whenever I'm cozy and alone.
I love you.
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 And on and on. Sometimes there's an object of my affection, someone or something on my mind, but it doesn't seem to actually matter. The tape plays whether there's an object attached to it or not. The love is always there. It's played a lot louder and more often since I met the beloved, the woman in my back. I'm a yoga teacher. Through my yoga, I'm able to let my body, my inner teacher, lead me into new territory. It was my inner teacher that suggested I buy myself that prostate stimulator. And my inner teacher that would ultimately lead me to her, the beloved. A fully formed partition of my person. The front of her body is the back of mine. Her face is in the back of my head. She sees behind me where I can't. I found her one day in meditation. Seemingly out of nowhere, this idea just came to me. And when I put it to work, there she was. The idea was for a creative visualization, one that I'll show you now. Wherever you are, whether you're sitting on the train, pretty much as long as you're not driving, close your eyes and come into the full vastness of you here in this moment. Start to become aware of your breath, letting it deepen by degrees, letting every exhale you take be a little bit deeper, moving the breath all the way into the clavicles, massaging the heart space. Try to distill all of the impressions of the front of your body. Not just the contours it cuts into space, but the feelings and potentialities there. Feelings of security on the front of the body. feelings of capacity. Feel the front of the body's potential to act on the world and its ability to be acted upon. Now, make these aspects as palpable as you can, and then transpose them onto the back of your body. The back of your head, now the seer. The back of your neck now speaks. And your heart shines out past your spine to meet those you love. The woman in my back is a lush and bountiful valley, and my prostate is the sun lighting it. I was elated to find her. Someone I recognized perfectly, who I had always known but who never really got their time to shine. Someone who other people were always asking me about. People ask me, like, what are you? All the time. It's always the what are you people who don't believe me anyway. I remember coming home from college for a friend's birthday several years ago. One of the bros at her party asked me if I was gay. He wanted to know if he could hit on the girl I arrived at the party with. I don't know if it was that we'd just come from yoga, or the nail polish, or just the way I talk and use my body that made him wonder, but I told him I was bisexual. I'm not bisexual. I like to sleep with women. But bi just seemed like the explanation of how I moved through the world that I thought would actually make sense to this person. He was like, okay, I knew it was something. It totally is something. But for a while, this sort of encounter was my best case scenario. Telling a little white lie about my sexuality was a lot easier than having to explain my gender to people. As if one even has anything to do with the other. Because of my effeminate nature, people have often perceived me as childlike, stunted, or underdeveloped. And while, fuck those people, maybe they're right. Maybe part of me is underdeveloped. It's been really easy to forget about her, or just not bother investing in my femininity. Much like bisexuals, I have the option of passing. It's not the whole story, but it's certainly the story with the most options. Just after meeting the beloved, I went to a party, and a woman asked for my pronouns, and I tried something new. I said, I'm a man and a woman, so whatever pronouns you like. I like them all. Oh, so you're like kind of ambiguous. No, I'm not ambiguous. I'm just both. In situations where I thought it would go over well enough, I tried this explanation. But a few weeks after discovering the beloved, I stopped trying to tell people about her because it was emotionally exhausting. Finding the beloved really solidified my identity for me, but telling people about her often felt like a step backward. It was awkward, and it made me feel like I was crazy. But on the bright side, the teens are definitely coming up from behind. Typing non-binary or demi-boy into the Tumblr search bar gives a quick glance into the future of gender, and it looks pretty sweet. Your identity is valid, even if you don't know exactly what it is. Support masculine trans women and feminine trans men. Are you gay or straight? Lol. Are you a boy or a girl? Lol. Masculine and feminine roles are not biologically fixed, but socially constructed. Judith Butler said that. When I tap into the beloved, it's pretty clear that the I love you tape is for her. Or that we're constantly playing it to each other. Like the parts of a perfect engine generating power all by itself. It's the most literal version of self-love I've ever felt. So I let her lead the way.
My favorite lube is love. Love and spin. When they say they love you, it goes right in. It's just somehow easier. You don't need poppers, you don't need nothing.
What are you?
Thank you.
Alan teaches yoga in Brooklyn. And if you live in Brooklyn, you should really go to his yoga studio. I had the best solo session there of my entire fucking life. It changed my whole week. Find out more at goldthread.studio or follow him on Instagram, goldthread_studio. This episode was written and produced by Alan Watts, with help from Mitra Kaboli. Julia Alsop is our producer in residence for this season.
Hey, Pansy!
And thanks to Cassie Wagler for additional editorial advising. Also, side point, I just want to thank Scott, who had a critique of our second episode about gay men, saying that he really wished that there was more representation of trans men in that episode. And I just want to say thank you to him and to all the people who wrote to us being like, hey, we expect more from you. At first, we set out to explore the femininity of people assigned male at birth and realized very quickly that that frame was really limiting and kind of stupid. Scott sent us a recording of some of his own experiences being a femme gay man. This is Scott.
For the first while of transition, I did feel a lot of pressure to sort of mimic the sort of Midwestern, typical, normal kind of masculinity that I'd grown up seeing. I definitely tried to sort of like dress the part and be able to hold my own with the guys in terms of like lifting weights and laughing at dirty jokes and shit like that. And it didn't really feel comfortable. My body was starting to feel more comfortable. I had top surgery and that was awesome. I felt really good. Testosterone really helped me feel more at home in my body. But in terms of the gender stuff, it took maybe a year or so to realize that I didn't have to be straight. I didn't have to date women. I could follow this path. And I feel like what it is the journey that cis effeminate men have. You take that and you kind of square it, you know, and that's kind of what you get with effeminate trans men, because we have this double complication of having effeminacy be a characteristic that's, you know, identified with womanhood. But then some of us end up being just effeminate men. Like, how do you get back to that effeminacy? Like, with still being able to keep the distance from your old gender that you might still need. I know for me, as I go further into transition, I'm about 10 years into transition now, it's easier now that I've been a man for a really long time to see, oh, I'm an effeminate man. It's not that this makes me a woman. It's that I am a man of this particular type. But when you're really early in transition, that's much harder to do. And the world is still reading you as a woman. And you, in some sense, are still seeing yourself as a woman because you haven't been out there for that long. Identifying, like really being able to grab onto, okay, I am this kind of a man. And my effeminacy as a man is distinct from my feminineness as a woman. Those are two different things. I think that takes a lot of time to be able to manifest as a trans person.
That was Scott. If you have stories or experiences about where masculinity and femininity meet for you that you didn't feel were represented here, we are all ears. Specifically from femmes of color out there, we would love to hear from you. Send your recordings. We've been loving hearing from all of the pansies. We'll put out a special newsletter soon with all of your stories and thoughts. If you're not signed up for a newsletter, by the way, you should definitely do it. The Heart is Caitlin Prest. That's me. Mitra Kaboli, Phoebe Wang, and Jen Ng. Thanks, as always, to the Knight Foundation and MailChimp for their support of the podcast revolution. And also thanks to AdZerk.
Why are you coming home, Bob, in the moan? Something's going on. Can I smell your dick? Can I smell your dick?
Radiotopia.